Hello, this is Joshua Mack, and a few minutes with the Puritan. We're going to be spending some time today with John Owen, talking about the Holy Spirit, working through a book he wrote called Pneumatologia, and we're still actually in chapter one. And part of the reason it's taking us a while is because this book is thick. There's just so much here, and I am not an expert in John Owen, though I've done a lot of reading of him for sure, but I think John Owen has so much good to say, and I want to learn from him, and that's part of why we're reading through this book slowly. And in this first chapter, he's giving us some motivation to work at thinking hard about the Holy Spirit. And the first way he does that is by taking us to a text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he shows that there were practical problems in the way believers were relating to one another in the early church that were a result of a misunderstanding of the work of the Spirit. And so that's definitely one reason we want to think about the Spirit. This is not just some sort of theoretical discussion. It is directly connected to the way that we live our lives as believers. But it's not the only reason. He also spends some time working through the Bible in order to show us just how big and precious and important the Spirit's work in our lives is. In fact, he talks about this great promise plan of God as being made up of two main categories. One, the way that God's working through his Son to provide salvation, and two, the way God the Spirit is working to apply salvation. And so we want to think about the work of the Spirit, because actually a lot of the New Testament is about what the Spirit is doing in our lives as believers. And then three, a third motivation is maybe a little bit more negative. He believes we need to know what the Bible teaches about the Spirit, because there have been many errors throughout church history regarding his person and his work. So whenever there's an important truth, of course, Satan's going to attack it. And we look back on church history and we can see that, wow, people have really had a lot of misunderstanding about the Spirit. And that should motivate us. Like, hey, if they got it wrong back then, we might be getting it wrong today. And that's actually a fourth motivation behind this work on the Spirit. Owen was concerned about a specific error in his day that he thought was so significant that believers need to study what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit more carefully so that they're not confused and led astray. He actually calls it the anti-spirit. And he's probably thinking about the Quakers, actually. There was a group that started out with fairly close ties to the Puritans, actually, but were made up of some people who may have been Christians or were claiming to be Christians, who just felt like the Puritan movement was too dry for them, actually, and they wanted something more immediate, more direct. And so they eventually went astray, and it's largely because of this issue that he is going to be addressing, errors in how they thought about the Spirit and the way in which the Spirit was working today. And he doesn't name them here in this first chapter, but the Quaker movement was exploding right in the middle of John Owen's ministry. From 1652 to 1662, they grew from just a few people to over 40,000, and they were making a lot of noise. Actually, where I come from is Pennsylvania, Penn's Woods. William Penn was a Quaker, and so there are a lot of Quaker meeting houses even still back then. And Owen calls them enthusiasts. And he explains here, there is in the day where and we live, an anti-spirit set up and advanced against the Spirit of God in his being and all his operations in his whole work and used towards the church of God. So he takes this pretty seriously. He considers what the Quakers were teaching these enthusiasts, an anti-spirit, a counterfeit spirit. God is doing one thing one way, and Satan obviously hates it. And so what he does is he offers up a counterfeit version of what God is doing. And Owen explains how he does that. For this new spirit takes upon him whatever is promised to be affected by the good Spirit of God. And so you've got what the Bible says the Spirit does, and then you've got this new spirit claiming to do that. And in his day, the name for that spirit was the light within them, or the inner light. And so basically, the Puritans, they believed the Spirit's words were, to us now, were the Bible. And so the Spirit is speaking through what he has spoken. And the Quakers believed, no, the Spirit communicated immediately now through this inner light and not through the Bible. How one person explains the differences, he says, this is Francis Higginson in 1653 in a book called article called The Irreligion of the Northern Quakers. And he says, they hold that the Holy Scripture, the writings of the prophets, evangelists, and apostles are not the word of God, and that there's no written word of God, but they say, using a foolish distinction of their own coining, that they are a declaration of the word only in those that have the faith. They hold that their own speakings are a declaration of the word Christ in them, thereby making them, though they be for the most part full of impiety and nonsense, to be of equal authority with the Holy Scriptures. They hold that no exposition ought to be given of the Holy Scripture, and that all such exposition of Scripture is an adding to it, and that God will add to such a one all the plagues written in that book. Opening and applying the Scripture is one thing they mainly declaim against wherever they come. They teach poor people that whosoever takes a text of Scripture and makes a sermon of it or from it is a conjurer, and that his preaching is conjuration. And that's actually the language that Quakers used to describe biblical preaching. George Fox, he was a Quaker, and he wrote, "All that study to raise a living thing out of the dead, to raise the spirit out of the letter, are conjurers, and draw points and reasons, and so speak a divination out of their own brain. They are conjurers and diviners, and their teaching is from conjuration, which is not spoken from the mouth of the Lord. And the Lord is against all such, and who are of God are against all such." So Fox, and this is a quote here, is claiming that the Scripture is dead, and that it represents the letter rather than the spirit. So this was like, hey, you guys, I even heard this in Africa sometimes, you guys have the word, we have the spirit. And they called that spirit the inner light. The spirit speaks now to us immediately. This is the Quakers, apart from Scripture. And Owen is worked up about this. He doesn't think light is the right word for what the Quakers were teaching. He would prefer, I'm sure, the word darkness. He says, you look at what they're saying and you got basically two options. Either what they're claiming to be a work of the Spirit is actually a work of Satan, like something's happening, but it's not God doing it, it's Satan doing it. Or maybe what's going on inside them is just, at best, kind of like their conscience telling them things. And yet he says, this is either way a really big deal and needs to be addressed, because you look at the claims they're making for this inner light, and they are trusting this spirit to do for them what God promised to do through his Holy Spirit in the Word. So this inner spirit, light instructs them, it enlightens them, they have to obey it, they expect God's going to accept them for it, justify them for it, bless them for it. And yet, you know, in the middle of all this, they're still claiming to be Christians. And so how's that possible? Reject the word of God, claim to be Christians. Either they would say, the light is the Holy Spirit. Like we heard Fox say, we're not supposed to look to the word of God anymore for what the Spirit has to say. We're serious about God because the Spirit is talking to us. That's what this inner light is. And Owen's like, hey, no, it's not. If they say it's the Spirit, Owen's going to prove, no way is this the Spirit. And by their so saying, they utterly destroy the very nature and being of the Holy Ghost. So he wants to just make it clear, if they're claiming this is the Spirit of God, it is definitely not. Or they would say, no, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's something different, which Owen's going to say is a problem too. It will be no less manifest that they utterly exclude him on the other side from his whole work and substitute another, yea, an enemy in his room. For another God is a false God, another Christ is a false Christ, and another spirit is a false spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist. And of course, you know, probably most of us don't know many Quakers. And so at first, this might just seem like Owen's addressing an ancient problem. But substituting something for the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God is still a very common problem. And you find many people who really in their day-to-day life are trusting inward impressions or looking for immediate revelations from God. They feel like hearing the Word of God is kind of dry, or studying the Word of God is too academic. They want something fresh, and so they think they need God to speak to them apart from Scripture. Or you'll meet people who are really trusting their experience or telling you to listen to your heart or go by how you feel, the peace that you experience. But whenever any of that is made the judge of what God wants, the very same danger that Owen's talking about here is present. You're substituting one of these things for the Holy Spirit. Either you're saying, hey, that is the Holy Spirit, my peace I'm feeling, or my experience is the Holy Spirit, or you are now saying it's different than the Holy Spirit. But when you look closely at what you're saying, whatever it is doing, you're actually putting that in the place of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to, because this is like a very present error, something that we could all fall for sure, we're going to need to think about how the Holy Spirit actually does work today, who the Holy Spirit is, how he actually does work. Owen says, therefore, our duty unto Jesus Christ and compassion for the souls of men do require that our utmost endeavor in the ways of Christ's appointment should be used to obviate this evil, which sort of does to humans, and now I'm paraphrasing Owen, what rust does to a car. It just eats away at their good. And so he's gonna work at fighting this. But he takes a moment before he does to say there's a specific way he's going to fight this error. And this is kind of important because, yeah, we go out there, we start going to different churches, talking to different Christians, and we're going to see a lot of weird stuff being taught about the Spirit of God. And sometimes people seem pretty sincere, and yet when you listen, you're like, no, that's idolatry, or that is like, that's just false, that's dangerous. And hopefully our hearts are going to get stirred up a little the way Owen's is here. And we're going to want to stand up against this error. But there's a way we need to do that. And I think we can learn from Owen the way he does it. He thinks that actually some are fighting this battle the wrong way. They're using man's methods to try to achieve God's ends. He says, look, there are people out there who are too hard, actually, on people who have imbibed these imaginations. But the fact that they're too hard on them doesn't mean that we shouldn't attempt the destruction of their errors and the breaking of the snares of Satan, by whom they're taken captive alive at his pleasure. And so here he's probably less thinking about the false teachers, because, I mean, the Bible's really straight up and direct and not hard, but just accurate. You know, it's not hard to put a murderer in prison. It's not hard to really take a stand against someone who is teaching error, because they're sending people to hell. But on the other hand, there are people who are listening to all that. And sometimes it's they're just looking for people to tickle their ears. But sometimes there are all these other factors that go in, and we need to be patient. And there's a way we need to talk to them. But we need to talk to them, because these errors are, and we need to fight against these errors the right way, because these errors are dangerous. And so what does he think is the right way? He says, praying, preaching, and writing. We need to pray for these people. We need to preach the truth to these people. And we need to write the truth to these people and to have conversations with them about these subjects. And there are, of course, people who think this isn't enough. He says, the course indeed of opposing errors and false spirits by praying, preaching, and writing is despised by them, in whose furious and haughty minds burn, cut, and kill are alone of any signification. But the way proposed unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, walked in by his holy apostles and all the ancient, holy, learned writers of the church, is that which in these matters we must and shall attend unto. And that way is to give a full, plain, evident declaration from the scriptures of the nature and operation of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is going to help, Lord willing, that God's able to take this. We know for sure he's able to take this and use it to give insight to those who might be deceived. But it's also really good for us. We're able to see what makes the counterfeit so dangerous by looking at the reality that we've been given in the Spirit of God. He says, hence it will be undeniably manifest what a stranger this pretended light is unto the true Spirit of Christ, how far it is from being of any real use to the souls of men, yea, how it is set up in opposition unto him and his work, by whom and by which alone we become accepted with God and are brought unto the enjoyment of him. And so one of the ways we fight error is by clear explanations of truth, and not hiding how it deviates from error, being very direct about that, but definitely putting the truth of what the Bible teaches about the Spirit of God on full display. And so that's what Owen wants to do. There's a specific error he was concerned about, but it wasn't the only error. And that's another reason he gives to study the Holy Spirit. He says, there are, moreover, many hurtful and noxious opinions concerning the Holy Ghost gone abroad in the world and entertained by many to the subversion of the faith which they have professed. And he says, okay, so one big error are people that are claiming the Spirit's working in ways that he isn't. And then there are just other errors out there too. Some deny his deity. Some deny his personality. Some would say he's not God. Others would say he's not really a separate person. Separate is probably not the right word, but he's not another person. There have been lots of fights about those two things throughout church history. Some people have been against the Holy Spirit in these two ways. Some have been for. But Owen's, part of why he feels motivated to write is because he looks at the way that people were making these arguments, and he just didn't think that believers were very edified by what was going on. And part of why was because he thought they're arguing using terms that believers weren't familiar with. And because sometimes they get so focused on things that we just can't know, and speculating that it leads them far away from what the scripture actually teaches. And so Owen is going to explain his own approach here, which is important because he has doctrinal reasons for going about this book the way that he does, arguing for the Holy Spirit, explaining the work of the Holy Spirit, fighting these errors the way he does. He says, our knowledge of things is more by their operations and proper effects than from their own nature and formal reasons. So what he's saying there is, we usually know something not by grasping its essence, but by seeing what it does and what it produces. So you don't, most of us at least, know the nature of electricity, but you can kind of understand electricity by what it does. And that's, he says, especially so in divine things, and particularly with respect unto God himself. So I think what he's getting at here is that he wants to write this book because there are, even though there are lots of books out there dealing with all this stuff, because those books he finds are way too speculative, and they're talking about all this stuff that most people don't even have any idea what they're talking about. And really, when it comes to God, that we can't know. So you go too far talking about what is God, the essence of God, and you're going to be way beyond what a human actually can comprehend or understand. And Owen says this is actually just a brute fact in a sense. He says, in his own glorious being, he dwells in light where unto no creature can approach. So we can't know God's essence. In revelation that he's made of himself by the effects of his will in his word and works are we to seek after him. So how can we know God? By looking to the scripture and seeing what he says he's not, by looking at the analogies that he uses, and especially by looking at the ways in which he works. And by them, he says, are the otherwise invisible things of God made known, his attributes declared, and we come to a better acquaintance with him than any we can attain by our most diligent speculations about his nature itself immediately. And that's what he thinks is true with the Holy Ghost and his personality. Trying to define what God is in himself apart from what he does is going to be a dead end. Instead, Owen says, pay attention to what God has said and what God's done, and we're going to be able to move forward. And this is how he's going to explain the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, not by helping us understand or comprehend his essence, because he doesn't think we can do that, but by looking at what he does and what it says about who he is and what he's like. And part of why he's taking this approach is because this is how the scripture does it. And because he is convinced thinking about those things will help us know what we need to know and believe what we need to believe and live how we need to live. So he wants to talk about the Holy Spirit here in an edifying way, which is how we should approach all these things. But unfortunately, you know, all too often we don't. We get sucked up into these arguments that are really just debates about stuff that we don't really know what we're talking about, when we could be looking at what God does say we can know. And if we do that, actually, we're going to be transformed by it. And so we should be motivated to look at what the scripture teaches about the Holy Spirit, first of all, because there are some specific errors, e.g. Quakers, inner light, descriptions of who the Spirit is and what he's doing that actually are an anti-spirit, and also because there are real questions people have about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, and a lot of the ways that people talk about those questions is not really edifying, and we want to be edifying. There is a way we can talk about this and really be challenged and transformed, and also an encouragement to others. And there's still one last motivation that Owen wants to give for why we should think about the Spirit, but we've gone so long already this time. We'll have to look at it in the next podcast.